Forgiveness is the key to happiness. The key to happiness is forgiveness. The key to happiness is forgiveness. Listen. Here's the answer to your search for peace. Here's the key to meaning in a world that seems to make no sense. Here's the way to safety in apparent dangers that appear to threaten you at every turn and bring uncertainty to all your hopes of ever finding quietness and peace. Here are all questions answered. Here, the end of all uncertainty, ensured at last. The unforgiving mind is full of fear and offers love no room to be itself, no place where it can spread its wings in peace and soar above the turmoil of the world. The unforgiving mind is sad without the hope of respite and release from pain. It suffers and abides in misery, peering about in darkness, seeing not, yet certain of the danger lurking there. The unforgiving mind is torn with doubt, confused about itself and all it sees, afraid and angry and weak and blustering, afraid to go ahead, afraid to stay, afraid to awaken, or afraid to go to sleep. Afraid of every sound, yet more afraid of stillness. Terrified of darkness, yet more terrified at the approach of light. What can the unforgiving mind perceive but its own damnation? What can it behold except the proof that all its sins are real? The unforgiving mind sees no mistakes, only sin. It looks upon the world with sightless eyes and shrieks as it beholds its own projections rising to attack its miserable parody of life. It wants to live, yet wishes it were dead. It wants forgiveness, yet it sees no hope. It wants escape, yet can conceive of none because it sees the sinful everywhere. The unforgiving mind is in despair, without the prospect of a future which can offer anything but more despair. Yet it regards its judgment of the world as irreversible and does not see it has condemned itself in this despair. It thinks it cannot change, for what it sees bears witness that its judgment is correct. It does not ask because it thinks it knows. It does not question because it is certain that it is right. Forgiving mind. And that's why we've gathered here together in this little episode that we intend to do in one of the great musicals of all time, and most of you are aware of the manner in which we actually teach the Course in Miracles. It's a simple admission that it's possible for you to undergo a dramatic change in how you feel about yourself and what you see in regard to the totality of the ideas. Okay. That musical that you were hearing at the beginning was the intro to My Fair Lady. In Edinburgh, there is going to be and we're going to be going to see it, a production of My Fair Lady. It'll be fascinating to listen because the story that's contained in the idea of a change of mind is a crucial element in the notation of the Course in Miracles. In other words, we have the capacity, if we choose right now, to decide that contained within us is a power of a separation that, while it's not obvious to us, perhaps And the idea of what we're pertaining to ourselves is actually present with us. There, let's look for just for a moment at the idea that the unforgiving mind is beset with the ideas of fear because it's extremely difficult in the notation of the qualities of past and future reference to see that in the lesson, forgiveness is the key. Say to me, key. The idea of an alteration in the manner in which you're viewing me is what we call, term a teacher of the Course in Miracles, all right, are simply indications of your inborn capacity, inborn, and I said inborn, to change your mind about what you're seeing out in the world. The entirety of this little musical version of My Fair Lady are indications that you've accepted it. Listen, just a little more as we play a little more about key to happiness being forgiveness. Remember, forgiveness is acquired. It is not inherent in the mind which cannot sin. As sin is an idea you taught yourself, forgiveness must be learned by you as well, but from a teacher other than yourself, who represents the other self in you. Through him, you learn how to forgive the self you think you make and let it disappear. Thus, you return your mind as one to him who is yourself and who can never sin. Each unforgiving mind presents you with an opportunity to teach your own self how to forgive itself. Each one awaits release from hell through you and turns to you imploringly for heaven here and now. It has no hope, but you become its hope. And as its hope, do you become your own hope, don't you? The unforgiving mind must learn through your forgiveness that it has been saved from hell. And as you teach salvation, you will learn. Yet all your teaching and your learning will be not of you, but of the teacher who was given you to show you the way. Today, we practice learning to forgive. If you are willing, you can learn today to take the key to happiness and use it on your own behalf. The unforgiving mind does not believe that giving and receiving are the same. Yet we will try to learn today that they are one through practicing forgiveness toward one whom you think of as an enemy, and maybe one whom you consider as a friend. And as you learn to see them both as one, we will extend the lesson to yourself and see that their escape includes yours. Now, begin the longer practice period by thinking of someone you don't like, who seems to irritate you, or to cause regret in you if you should meet him, one you actively despise or merely try to overlook. Doesn't matter what the form your anger takes. You probably have chosen him already. He'll do. No, practice. Close your eyes and see him in your mind. Look at him a while. Try to perceive some light in him somewhere, a little gleam which you have never noticed before. Try to find some little spark of brightness shining through the ugly picture that you hold of him. Look at his picture till you see a light somewhere within it. And then try to let this light extend until it covers him and makes a picture beautiful and good. And makes the picture beautiful and good of you because of here on the street where you live. On the street where you live. the value that you're seeing in this idea of a lesson in forgiveness is crucial in the idea that the projections of your mind that appear to be telling you about the figure of yourself that is apparently conscious here are simply reflections of light that are giving you back to you which you put out there initially in the idea of this lesson. You with me now? The thoughts that you're going to have cannot exclude perception in the sense that the perception of yourself is going to tell you what you want to hear about yourself. We have very little disagreement about that. That is, what you appear to see. Watch this now. Watch it. There. What I appeared to see was a reflection of you in which I have to judge you, whether lovingly or with some sort of animosity, and the manner in which I'm appearing to look at you. Now, in the musical that you saw of My Fair Lady, there's a great deal of effort made on the idea. Say to me, changing my mind. Yeah, the object, and I'm going to be with you just for a moment here. I'm going to slip and slip off my shirt. Here, what I'm going to do is, if I'm going to be here in this faculty of light, what I'm going to offer you, here we go, okay, here, is the idea that on the street where you live, suddenly someone is going to appear and offer you a solution that you thought was very difficult within your own mind. Listen with me. Okay? This is the importance of what forgiveness actually is. It doesn't have actually anything to do with the idea of sin or painfulness, because the simple truth of the matter is that space-time itself is already in sin and already separate from everything that it would want to be within its own arrangement of itself. But you look with me. As we begin to practice the idea of a course in the miracle of our capacity to see differently, in what we saw, we begin to detect ideas of variation that surprise us perhaps and even may astonish us with the sudden legitimacy of the idea of actually seeing a separate figure standing there. Now, close your eyes and see him in your mind and look at him a while. Try to perceive some light in him somewhere, a little gleam which you had never noticed. Try to find some little spark of brightness shining through the ugly picture that you hold of him. Look at this picture till you see a light somewhere within it, and then try to let this light extend until it covers him and makes the picture beautiful and good. Look at this changed perception for a while and turn your mind to one you call a friend. Try to transfer the light you learned to see around your former enemy to him. Perceive him now as more than friend to you, for in the light his holiness shows you your Savior, saved and saving and whole as you are. Then let him offer you the light you see in him, and let your enemy and friend unite in blessing you with what you give. Now are you one with him, and they with you? Now have you forgiven and been forgiven by yourself? Do not forget throughout the day the role forgiveness plays in bringing happiness to every unforgiving mind with you among them. And every hour you tell yourself, forgiveness is the key to happiness. And I will awaken from the dream that I am mortal, fallible, and full of sin, and know that I am the perfect Son of God, and that I'm able to admit that I'm the perfect Son of God. It's good to see you again in Edinburgh. We have some guests that have come in that are performing particular ideas of a method in a particular place that has been specifically designed for you in order to facilitate the idea that a miracle of your mind is actually possible. A miracle of your mind is actually possible. It was set up as an arrangement for you on this video, on the street where you live, in the notation of My Fair Lady, so that you could anticipate a complete change in what you intended to be yourself, in the idea of the manner in which you want to perform the idea. Here we go now, that the physicalness of you is being demonstrated by this so-called teacher of the miracle of the transformation of our individual mind is offering you a moment of that transformation. It's a moment of that transformation in which you catch glimpses of yourself. Now, at the time you catch the glimpse, all right, it appears, doesn't it, to be out there. It appears as though it's something out there that you're seeing. Now, perhaps it makes you sad. Perhaps it's frightening to you. Listen with me. It can be anything you want it to be. The important thing to remember is this. It's in my mind. It's in my mind because it's not out there that I see it. It's not out there that I see it. We've grown to each other. And the idea of A Course in Miracles, the ultimate simplicity of the notion that I am responsible for what I'm saying, and I'm getting the result of my own mind, become increasingly important. Forgiveness, the manner in which I will forgive you, is always present with me, if it is true, in our Course in Miracles. But there's always another way to look at this, isn't there? There, I saw that flash here in Edinburgh. We're suddenly beginning to flash each other, and what happens is this, and this is important, we end up in entirely different places. I've got 4 minutes left to teach here before an important break. What I want you to see with me is the action of reflections of light that demonstrate ideas of storylines concerning the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ are simply indications of altering the association of the place in which we find ourselves. Because the place within which we find ourselves is different. Because the miracle, all right, is new to the extent that suddenly, to our happy surprise, it gives us a reason for being here. You and I know that in the act of forgiveness, and this was today's lesson, wasn't it? The most you could look forward to is to be here in this body formulation, to occupy yourself in a frequency of light that obviously has virtually no power whatsoever. To hold on to memories that include loss and pain and loneliness and death, and not experience the suddency of a miracle that is inherent in us, very simply by the statement that the place that we are in can be, say to me, here.
Here.
Now say to me, now.
Now.
Now, the idea that it's possible in time, all right, to alter the association in which you find yourself are what the key to happiness is. And that's why it was so important that you read with me just one sentence. Listen to this. Our solution at this event will be particularly focused and directed to a celebration of this time and place where the miraculous event will occur, because an ancient promise will be kept. An extra portal from this infinitely small maze of space and time has been opened. If you remember, the time lasts but for an instant in your mind with no effect upon eternity. And so as all time passed and everything exactly as it was before the way to nothingness was made. The tiny tick of time in which the first mistake was made, and all of them within that one mistake held also the correction for that one, and all of them that came within the first. And in that tiny instant, time was gone, for that was all it ever was. What God gave answer to is answered and is gone. Now, I'm going to leave you with a particular medley of a song that we sang together in the idea that it was possible for us to participate in the joyous change that's going on, in the idea that the variation of us, while the world out there may know nothing of it, will become more and more obvious to us. And as it becomes obvious to us, we'll be able to picture ourselves in a different world. A different world that we had been clinging to in the hope that somehow there was a solution. Now, when we come back, I'm going to deal directly with the idea of offering you a healing that occurred in that first 28 minutes. It's going to be astonishing to many of you. You're suddenly going to be well for no apparent reason at all. And that wellness for no apparent reason will be why we call it a miracle. You see? And an explanation of why it's a miracle will be offered you very simply, not because it's not totally contained within your mind, but that because it appears to be occurring out there, you credit the idea of the successful application of it as out there, as though that somehow solved the problem, and perhaps it did. But you remember this, the basis of our entire teaching is the idea that the cause of you and the effect of you are actually going on simultaneously in the idea of the totality of happiness, of the love of God, with the loss of fear of what we've seen. And this song is designed especially for you, so that you can hear it within this range of ideas of yourself.
Baby.
to try to set it down. Sleep, sleep, I couldn't sleep tonight, not for all the jewels in the crown. I could have danced all night, I could have danced all night, and still have begged for more.
Thank you.
I could have spread my wings and done a thousand things I've never done.
What made it so
exciting? Why all at once my heart took flight?
Tell me now.
I only know when she began to dance with me.
I could have decisions that have to be made by you conceptually. Try to accept the simple fact that contained within the miracle is the entirety of your own perfection as you were created, and that that thought has not left its source of reality. The initial encounter, we're doing galactic ideas of Homo sapiens for just a moment, that somehow you didn't know who you were, how you were, or how you got here. Right? seemed to have occurred. Yet the mere idea that you did not at that moment know who you are could not preclude the idea that somewhere within the entirety of that frame of context, you did know who you are. The return of the principle, this is in Edinburgh, incidentally, and I'm enjoying myself. We have many, many associations within 40,000 year ranges, believe it or not, who suddenly have recollections of instances, say to me, self-recognition.
Self-recognition.
Well, you recognized yourself. The only thing in all the universe that for a moment does not appear to know what it is a human being, is a Homo sapien. And since that is impossible, the manner in which he attempts to identify himself will always fail, very simply because it is impossible that he does not actually know who he is already in that consideration. It's called the invention of time. Listen with me just for a moment. This is 2 minutes about the solution that you found right here in Edinburgh. Listen. The world is nothing in itself. Your mind must give it meaning. And what you behold upon it are your wishes acted out so you can look on them and think them real. Perhaps you think you did not make the world, but came unwillingly to what was made already, hardly waiting for your thoughts to give it meaning. Yet in truth, you found exactly what you looked for when you came. Listen, this world was over a long time ago. The thoughts that make it are no longer in the mind that thought of them and loved them for a little while. The miracle but shows that the past is gone, and what has truly gone has no effects. Remembering a cause can but produce illusion of its presence, not effects. You think you live in what is past. Each thing you look upon you saw but for an instant long ago, before its unreality gave way to truth. Not one illusion still remains unanswered in your mind, because uncertainty was brought to certainty so long ago that it's hard indeed to hold it in your heart as if it were still there. And that's why, in this idea that forgiveness, all you really want are simply the idea that someone appears to be to blame for what's going on in this world today. And if the key to happiness is forgiveness, or the act of determining initially perhaps that you're the cause of it, and then the certainty that your participation in the idea of bringing a memory with you, all right, is a simple admission of what you know perfectly well in your own memory, that each time you made a decision, and that's those of you who came in here with me this morning, actually had to bring yourself with you, did you? Did you come in here in this little group and sit down with me and bring with you a memory? Say to me, of myself.
Of myself.
So you brought with you a memory of yourself. All I'm really trying to do is increase the frequency of the manner in which you view your own participation with the true reason why you would want to have forgiveness. Because forgiveness is really what you want. If your past is always going to be gone. Look, no matter how you look at it, you're very much aware that you're in a memory of what occurred. Let's try that first half hour. You had an idea that somehow, suddenly, perhaps you feel more vital, more certain about yourself, happier, all right? Because your key to happiness is the admission of self-responsibility. In our course, we have an idea, and we'll take a quick look at it. It's the next lesson. After you do the lesson, the key to happiness is forgiveness. Want to listen with me? Listen just for a minute. Forgiveness offers everything that I want. What could you want forgiveness cannot give? You want peace? Forgiveness offers it. You want happiness, a quiet mind, a certainty of purpose, and a sense of worth and beauty that transcends the world. Do you want care and safety and the warmth of sure protection always? Do you want a quietness that cannot be disturbed, a gentleness that never can be hurt, a deep abiding comfort and a rest so perfect it can never be upset? All this forgiveness offers you and more. It sparkles on your eyes and gives you joy with which to meet the day. It soothes your forehead while you sleep and rests upon your eyelids so you see no dreams of fear and evil, of malice and attack. And when you wake again, it offers you another day of happiness and peace. All this forgiveness offers you and more. Forgiveness lets a veil be lifted up that hides the face of Christ from those who look with unforgiving eyes upon the world. It lets you recognize the Son of God and clears your memory of all dead thoughts so that remembrance of your Father can arise across the threshold of your mind. What would you want forgiveness cannot give? What gifts but these are worthy to be sought? What fancied value, trivial effects, or transient promise, never to be kept, can hold more hope than what forgiveness brings? Why would you seek an answer other than the answer that will answer everything? Listen with me. Here's a perfect answer given to imperfect questions. Meaningless requests, half-hearted willingness to hear, and less than half-hearted diligence and partial trust. Here's the answer. Seek for it no more. You will not find another one instead of forgiveness. God's plan for your salvation cannot change, nor can it fail. Be thankful it remains exactly as He planned it. Changelessly, it stands before you like an open door with warmth and welcome, calling from beyond the doorway, bidding you to enter in and make yourself at home where you belong. Here's your answer. Would you stand outside while all of heaven waits for you within? Forgive and be forgiven. As you give, you will receive. As you give, you will receive. And there is no plan but this for the salvation of the Son of God. Let us today rejoice that this is so, for here we have an answer clear and plain, beyond deceit in all of its simplicity. All of the complications, all of the complexities the world has spun of fragile cobwebs disappear before the power and the majesty of this extremely simple statement of the truth. That is, that forgiveness offers everything I want. Now, perhaps you've had to practice a little bit the idea, and while you've been willing to admit that you've been responsible for the act of yourself, the truth of the inevitability of the actual awakening of yourself perhaps has been escaping you up until now. Because the idea of the power of your mind to make individual perceptual decisions, an outcome that you want, cannot preclude from your mind the entirety of the possibility, all right, of the relationship of cause and effect to the single reality that we are. Very simply, we all come from a single source of reality. Not only do we come from a single source of reality, we know that we come from a single source of reality. And we are aware that while we find solutions within space-time, by living within the memory of ourself, this is in Edinburgh now, and I enjoy very much being here. You notice that in the next 20 minutes, okay, you begin to meet associations that you feel as though you know them somewhere. Come on now. Say to me, it's impossible to meet a stranger.
It's impossible to meet a stranger.
Is that so? How can you meet a stranger if everything is in your mind? Well, he didn't look like he's in my mind. Don't worry about it. Give him an opportunity in the expression of the miracle to share with you the certainty that the cause of me is not separate from the effects of me. Obviously, this is what God teaches. If you're entirely responsible for the things that you're seeing or doing, the variation of what appears to be moments of cause and effect can only lead you, and do lead you, to a proximity. We use the term of light here, where light will be, while it will be a variety, will be a variety between total darkness and total light, which is what our teaching. That is, I'm not trying to take away from you the idea that you're determined to represent yourself in space and time. What I am trying to take away from you is in the notation, and the word is to give, or to give, because in effect the only one you're really giving to is yourself. The only guy who could possibly be suffering out there is you. Is that true? All of the pain, all of the loneliness, all of the factoring of yourself require the key to the idea of giving, of forgiving in moments that will make you intensely happy, very simply because they allow you to walk through a gate and escape from a factoring of an enclosure of space-time that had held you. Let's read. So, can I read a little bit about another thing? What is forgiveness? Okay. Since you are determined, okay, to suffer a condition of what appears to be pain and death, obviously forgiveness is necessary. Obviously, at that point you will believe that God requires your forgiveness very simply because what you have participated in. It's not true. The miracle, which was downloaded and taken down over a period of time, is a simple indication that standing here right next to you now, suddenly appearing, will be somebody that was somewhere in your past memory. You can listen to me, or perhaps in a future memory. Perhaps he's in a distance of somebody who has been so far projected into the future that it's impossible for you to see that he's actually present with you now, if it is true that this world was over a long time ago. And I assure you it was. What I am stirring in you here in Edinburgh, when we begin to walk around, we'll just use that 300 or 400 year cycle of time in which you're able to see the joy of the expression of the celebration that's going to go on here in the act of forgiving. Now, you listen with me. This act of what is forgiveness? I should tell you this in passing, okay? In the idea. Okay, yeah, I'll do it this way. Here in Edinburgh, and they call me a master teacher, okay? And we associate ideas of healing our body formulation through allowances for changes in variance, not so much in the idea of what's in our mind, but the physical change that's possible in our body if actually all we are is a reflection of light. Come on now, you can hear this. The universe is out there with power a billion times greater than this, and lights that make this look like nothing. and all you're getting is a dim reflection. What I want you to see is the value that can be yours very simply by accepting the inherent power that's a part of your willfulness in making a decision to say to me, let God's will be done.
Let God's will be done.
Now, I'm not teaching you anything that you haven't heard since the beginning of time, because the idea of God or knowledge of the entirety of you is what all the species of consciousness of man is in the entire universe, regardless of what he shows. Let's look at forgiveness for a second. Okay. Now, some of you, we had a little session here we're going to have later on, and you say, you've been around a long time, haven't you? And the truth is, I've been around about 600 years. Why would I choose 600 years? Why not? It's arbitrary to the extent that the currency of the immediacy of offering a previous moment ago without my necessity to project it into the future so I can use it as some sort of future reference are why we're here in Edinburgh. Now, do you see that? In other words, we shorten the distance between the time in which you came in here and the details that you had laid up in your mind in order to perpetrate the idea that forgiveness was not necessary. Listen with me. Listen there. Nice line. Listen with me. Listen with me. Forgiveness recognizes what you thought your brother did to you has not occurred. It doesn't pardon sins and make them real. It sees there was no sin. And in that view are all your sins forgiven. Notice it says, in that view. As I look at you, the requirement for the forgiveness of your physical body takes on a new aspect. But if I let my mind speak for me, it will convert your body, because I'll recognize simply that I'm actually the one that put your body out there in the first place, although that may not be that obvious. Listen. What is sin except a false idea about God's Son? Forgiveness merely sees its falsity and therefore lets it go. What then is free to take its place is now the will of God. An unforgiving thought is one which makes a judgment that it will not raise to doubt, although it is not true. The mind is closed and will not be released. The thought protects projection, tightening its chains so that distortions are more veiled and more obscure, less easily accessible to doubt, and further kept from reason. What can come between a fixed projection and the aim that it has chosen and wants for its goal? I'm going to tie the word idea of projection for just a second. Because if you're protecting yourself from the idea of your enemy, or even your close friend, or somebody you love, the reflection you get has given him a different body identity than yourself. And he will believe that he is that body identity as you believe you are your body identity. And actually, he's just a projection of your mind rather than an extension of the love that I'm feeling for you right now. Is that love in our minds together? Yeah. Do we have moments here where we love each other? Sure. Listen with me. Will you listen with me? An unforgiving thought does many things. In frantic action, it pursues its goal, twisting and overturning what it sees as interfering with its chosen path. Because distortion is its purpose and the means by which it would accomplish it as well, it sets about in furious attempts to smash reality without concern for anything that would appear to pose a contradiction to its point of view. Forgiveness, on the other hand, is still and quietly does nothing. It offends no one and no aspect of reality, nor seeks to twist it to appearances it likes. It merely looks and waits and judges not. And he who would not forgive must judge, for he must justify his failure to forgive. But he who would forgive himself must learn to welcome truth exactly as it is. Do nothing then, and let forgiveness show you what to do through him who is your guide, your savior, and your protector, strong in hope and certain of your ultimate success. He has forgiven you already, for such is his function, given him by God. And now must you share his function and forgive whom he has saved, whose sinlessness he sees, and whom he honors as the Son of God. Are you ready for the final 2 minutes? The entirety of my teaching is only about love. Thou wilt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, and with all of your mind, and with all of your soul. And are you ready for this? You love your neighbor as yourself. Now, it doesn't mean that you necessarily recognize your neighbor as being yourself. It does admit fundamentally that we all come from the same source, or the idea here in Edinburgh that it's possible for you and I to find a lot of things to agree on. So the key to A Course in Miracles is to make a fundamental admission that contained within the miracle will always be the answer, all right, if you will let it participate in the idea of that love right there. I should say this about you. It's good to welcome you again. It's good to see you again here. Now, suddenly you're getting, I remember you. You listen with me. If all of this is already passed, it's impossible that you're not remembering it. All I can possibly be doing as we download now is offering you the certainty that in our Course in Miracles, I've discovered how very much I actually love you, and that you were really the one I was looking for. Once more, you were really the one I was looking for, not someone else, the one I could really be looking for is you, and the recognition of yourself. As we leave this sequence of time and journey out into the universe, free of this burden of pain and sickness and death that represented us. I'll see you at the celebration in just a moment. I'll see you at the celebration in just a moment. In just a moment. Once more, thank you. Thank you for being willing to participate in the intense joy by your individual journey.